Moncrief on News Talk.
It's lash and rain again, which of course means potential flooding and damage to homes and businesses. And there is a mental health aspect to this. New research has revealed how it's causing depression and PTSD. Dr. Aisling Burke is an associate professor at DCU and co-author of the study. Good afternoon, Aisling. Good afternoon, Aisling.
Hi, Sean.
So tell us how you conducted the study.
So it was led by Trinity College and us in DCU, National College of Ireland, co-authored it. And so we integrated three pieces of research. So we did a systematic review of existing research on flooding and mental health. We looked at two case studies of communities impacted by mental health in Australia and England. And we did workshops with communities in Ireland who were impacted by floods. And we integrated that all together to look at the impact of mental health on or flooding on mental health.
Yeah, well, I suppose it makes sense because it can have such a devastating effect on people's lives.
And
after a flood, how long, you know, from a mental health point of view, how long can those effects last for?
Well, they can last for years. So there, like our research showed, post-traumatic stress symptoms, anxiety, depression symptoms that happen at the time of the flood, depending on how severe the flood is, the displacement that might go along with it. But then long after the flood has subsided, the effects last for years, and often that's related to anticipatory anxiety, where there's a worry about it happening again. And uncertainty as to whether it will happen again, but the knowledge that it will have a very significant impact on the lives of people affected.
Yes, and of course, because on a day like today, or in a day where we're getting yellow warnings or red warnings, that the anxiety levels must shoot up again because you're reliving the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like some of the participants would say, you know, they'd hear the rain pitter-patter and their anxiety levels start to increase. They start to have this heightened stress towards, you know, what's the impact going to be? Is the river going to flood? Is, you know, what is that going to be? And then what's the uncertainty that will go with that? Will I be displaced? Will I have to leave my house? What's the financial burden that will go along with that? And then some people being more at risk, you know, people with mobility issues, for example, who might be concerned about how quickly they can leave their property. And then being separated from your community if you have to leave your property and the community is impacted, people having to move away from their daily routines that are very important for people's general mental health.
Yeah.
So it can be severe at the time, but then it can be prolonged over a long time afterwards.
And were these people, if you like, self-reporting anxiety and PTSD, or had they been diagnosed with this, do you know?
Most of the time it was self-report. So not necessarily clinical diagnosis, it's people self-reporting, depending on what the methodology of the studies that we included. And then for our workshops, people talking about fear and frustration, and often kind of fear and confusion at the time. But also then frustration afterwards, not knowing what's going to happen. And like one of the significant pieces was the financial burden that goes with that they carry because they are, you know, they know this might happen again or there's a very high likelihood that it will happen again.
Yeah. And in the workshops, if any of them go to their GP and say, I'm suffering from depression or anxiety because of the floods, were they taken seriously? Because, you know, there might be an inclination to say, well, of course you are. There's, you know, we all are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know specifically if they went to their GP, but I think there was a sense that as a community, they felt they were somewhat forgotten about. And there was that kind of burnout from constantly advocating for mitigation or protection measures as a community and them working together. But they were very evident, like the sharing of that mental health impacts within these communities.
Yeah. And if say, someone's living in a local community and flood defences have put in, I assume then that anxiety then would be reduced, mitigated to a degree?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the literature we looked at wasn't longitudinal. So a lot of it is at one time point going into communities. So we couldn't necessarily trace that. But participants did say if they felt like there was some levels of protection and mitigation, and there was going to be good communication afterwards that would mitigate some of the impacts in terms of mental health impacts.
Yeah. But it also strikes me as well that if somebody then has experienced a business or a home and it's been damaged, then you have to go through the whole process of claiming insurance. That's not going to help either.
It's not going to help. And there's a lot of frustration with the kind of administrative burden of that. And again, some people be more vulnerable or finding that more difficult than others. But they're also carrying that financial burden. So in terms of the impact of the flood, but anticipating that another flood will happen and having to manage your family finances because of that constant risk was particularly impactful for them.
Aisling, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Aisling Burke, their Associate Professor at Dublin City University and co-author of that study.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.